Hallelujah. We're looking at taking off the limits, and I've been trying to communicate what I sense in my heart that the Spirit of God is trying to get us into the season. There are always two parts to the equation when God is working. There's man's part, there's God's side. And that's why we saw last week in Joshua chapter 1, when God came to Joshua after Moses passed and gave him instructions concerning what to do. And I showed us in the scriptures how God kept exercising, be strong and be of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Unto these people you divide the land for an inheritance which I promised to their fathers. And verse 8, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 now says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have what? Good success. So we and the exhortation this morning followed along the same line, the importance of God's word this season, because when God wants to move you from point A to point B, he does it by the power of his word. Now, the strongest thing literally in existence to work or to change is the mind of men. The will of men can be so strong. So God's word is that tool that God uses to turn the heart of kings in the direction where he wants them to go. Even rulers also. So what God does is he conducts a surgery upon your heart, because it's difficult for God to move you into things that you have not seen and things that your heart has not conceived is difficult. Even if God does so supernaturally or spectacularly, you will still find yourself back where you once were because there is no change on the inside. And that's why when we're looking at taking off the limits, we're saying every perceived limitation in your life, God has a program and agenda to move you beyond those limitations. And the tool that God uses primarily is his word. Is his word. And that's one of the reasons why God's word can be very graphic. It paints images upon our conscience, because that's how God causes you to conceive a new season. It's first within and then without. Hallelujah. I know I watched the documentary, one of the finest trainers of people who do track and field events. And when they were about to break the world record with respect to high jump, and the particular athlete who had been practicing for years was facing that challenge. He had already jumped and scaled a particular height. Now there was a new height to scale, and it looked impossible. How many of you have been through that kind of experience where you're like, this one is, as in, I've tried, I've stretched beyond what I can. And the trainer gave him a principle which works even in the natural. He said, throw your mind over it, and then you can jump. As long as your mind can't see you over the bar, you can't go over the bar. The action of jumping must be preceded by you seeing yourself over it. Once you can, that mental barrier is strong enough to keep you where you once were. That was a challenge of the children of Israel. They had spent 400 years in captivity. Well, 430 years by the time Moses showed up. And so when God moved them out of Egypt, the challenge they had was that they were still seeing garlic, leek, and onions. They were still subservient in their thinking. They were meant to be a ruling nation. God said, I've taken you unto me as a nation of priests and kings. But when they crossed the Red Sea, and Moses said, the Egyptians you see today, you see them no more. They didn't physically see Egyptians again, but Egypt was still in their hearts. So those stories are written as lessons unto us to let us see that God is sovereign, God is all-powerful. But there are workings of God with man that shows you if certain things don't come to pass, the fault is not on God's part, because God is true. Whatever God says is a contractual agreement. He can break his own part, his own end of the bargain. As a matter of fact, man is the only being in existence who has the capacity to limit God. That God will have to use another means to fulfill. God's will can't be stopped, but God can change the method by which he brings the will to pass, because man has limited him. That's how strong man is. So God is always seeking man to cooperate with him in order to fulfill his will, his plan, and his counsel. Hallelujah. Now look at Romans chapter 15 as our text this morning, and then as we go on. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that is, ahead of time. Obviously, it's talking about the Old Testament, we call the Holy Scriptures. What some of it is were written aforetime, were written for our learning. The word learning means doctrine. That means something was written to teach you, to instruct you. So if it's a teaching, it means it's an established principle. It's a teaching. So what you're reading, what some people call my book of Bible stories, is a teaching. Something is being communicated to you. And what's being communicated are the ways of God. So it's more than a story. These things actually happened. They occurred in the lives of people. Some of them you're going to meet them. Not some of them. Most of them you're going to meet them on the other side. When you get to heaven, the heavenly city, you're going to meet them. You're going to see those people you read about. They are now watching you, in quote, from the balconies of heaven, as you run your own race. Now, you are envious of what they experience. They are jealous of what you're experiencing. Now, see, what is this again? Those things we're reaching for time, we're reaching for our learning, so that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have what? Hope. So I told us again, the word patience there is consistency. So when I read the stories very well, what I would discover is a consistent operation, a consistent working of God, where every single patriarch will stand up and said, I'm marking myself present that God has been faithful. So if I start from Abel, Abel will say, God was faithful. I look at Enoch will say, God was faithful. I will look at Noah. Noah will say, God was faithful. I'll jump to Abraham. Abraham will say, present, God is faithful. I hope you understand. Now, so that is patience. Patience means there's a consistent pattern of God's walking through the scriptures that you cannot miss if you study scripture carefully. It now says patience and comfort. Now, again, the word comfort in Bible language doesn't mean, it's not a feel good. You know, somebody just saying that comfort you, no. It's not, okay, let me just make you feel good. No. The word comfort simply means something that comes alongside you, that is a constant abiding assurance. That's what the scripture does for you. You are holding something, there's a presence with you, that's a constant abiding assurance, which you receive from the scriptures, so you can have a supernatural expectation. So the word hope is not wishful thinking, it's not, maybe it will be, no. It's stronger than that. It is an outcome that is certain from the consistency you see in scriptures. In other words, if God did it for A and B and C, you are D, it will not fail when it comes to you. That's what the scripture, it says, it gives you hope. So I have something to look forward to. Something that I can say, because he has done it before. Jesus practiced the same principle. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Acts 2 from verse 23. It says, in being delivered by the predominant counsel of God and foreknowledge of God, you have taken up by wicked hands, you have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that should be holding by it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul where? In hell, when now will you suffer your only one to see corruption? Go back to the previous verse. I want you to see what it says again, verse 26. Therefore did my heart what? Rejoice, and my tongue was what? Glad. That word glad there means the tongue was busy declaring God's faithfulness. He's describing what happened to Jesus as he descended to the bottom of the heart. So Jesus went down speaking. He also came out speaking. What was he saying? My heart rejoiced, and the way to show my heart is rejoicing is what my tongue was saying. My flesh, therefore, will rest in confident expectation. Where did Jesus get it from? Because of what happened to Jonah. God has raised the dead before. Not just the dead. Somebody just dies. We don't know what happened and then just came back to life. No. Somebody went to the belly of the earth. His name is Jonah. Some of you just think Jonah was just in the belly. Well, scientists will tell you it's not possible to survive the belly of a whale. There's corrosive acid that will fry your skin plus bones in the belly of whales. So the belly of the whale was meant to signify or typify Jesus going down to the lower part of there, which is hell. Look at Jonah chapter 2. Before they show it, open to Jonah chapter 2. Let your Bible mark that you opened Jonah. You know I'm helping you. You know you will meet Jonah. Some of you will challenge you. You never read my book. All you know was I went to the belly's whale of the belly. Nothing else you do. What else do you know about me? Where do I come from? Jonah chapter 2, I mean from verse 1. Well, let's read to chapter 1. And let's look at the two last verses. Chapter 1, two last verses. See what it says. I don't want to go into all the story because of our time. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now look at Jonah. Jonah is a prophet. So Jonah now is telling you what happened in verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of what? Belly of what? Belly of what? Did this belly of fish? No, belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Then said I, am a cast out of your sight, yet will I look again towards your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, the depth closed around me, the weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Does that sound like valley of the will? No. See, I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her vast was about me forever. That's eternal death. Yet you have brought off my life from corruption. Hallelujah. Jonah's testimony gave Jesus hope. Has he done it before? Yes. Will he do it again? Oh, yes. He will do it again. So Jesus went down saying what David was saying in Psalm 16. You will not leave my soul in hell. In that will you suffer, you only want to see what? Corruption. You will not abandon me to the jaws of spiritual death. Now, Jonah went to hell because of his own disobedience. Jesus went to hell because of our disobedience. There's a difference. But God has done it before. And the scriptures were written so that we, through the patience and comfort of scripture, might have what? Supernatural expectation. So we're not talking about wishful thinking. I hope God comes true. It's a cliche among most Christians. The question is, where are the scriptures that assure you the way God came true for this person, God will also come true for you also? Are you conscious? Are you aware that God is ready to come true for you in that situation? That's what supernatural hope is. And that's how God removes limitations in our consciousness. It has never been done before, but it will be done by you. It will be done through you. Say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 4. Just follow me closely. And I read from verse 16. Romans 4, 16. Let's look at Abraham. Therefore, it is of faith that might be by grace, to the end that the promise, what was promised, might be available to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written. Remember, some things were written ahead of time for you to learn, for you to be instructed. As it is written, notice, I have made thee, God's sentence, God's declaration, God's promise, I have made thee a father of many nations. When did God say this? When Abraham had no seed. Where there was no possibility of procreating. God said, I have made thee. He spoke of the future as though it was already past. This is important. I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to that which is dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. People have always argued, hey, is it God who calls or man that calls? Well, the simple answer is this. If you call things which be not as though they are, you are acting like your father God. Simple. Say amen. Remember, a father of many nations, have I made, not will I, have I made thee. He spoke of the future as though it was already past. Now, it says, God quickens the dead. How does he quicken the dead? He calls those things which be not as though they were. Don't miss the tenses. He didn't say as though they are. As though they were. Hallelujah. He shows us a secret now. Again, whatever declaration you put upon your lips, beyond any natural limitation in your environment, whether biological, chemical, career-wise, any limitation, whatever declaration you put upon your lips, understand that God can do that and much more. So you're not putting God on the spot. Because he has done it before, he will yet do it what? Again. Listen, why do you think we have testimonies of somebody who is 59, 60 years old giving birth? God is trying to alert us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is still very much present. It can reverse biology. It can change people's chemistry. I hope you understand that. It still does. If it happened to someone before, it can happen to you also. I saw a testimony not too long ago about a lady who said, the way she grew up, life was hard. Finances were difficult and everything. And she struggled throughout school to even get a BSc and everything like that. And she had a chance meetings. Maybe some of us saw the video testimony on the road, on the street. Haven't prayed and trusted God. Looked as though nothing was happening. On the road, on the street. Haven't trusted God. And what happened was that she had a chance encounter with somebody on the street. Praying and declaring and confessing. Stayed faithful. Patient. God is who he says he is. He won't change. She wasn't in fair weather. Fair weather is, I tried for 2 weeks, it's not working. Let me look for an alternative. That's what people do. They just give up. Someone is standing firm in faith. This limitation, this challenge, I'm going to stand. Now, why are you standing? There's hope. What's the hope? God has done it before. Hallelujah. If he can't do it, it's different. But because he can and he does, then he will do this one also. Say amen. So she said, on the road, a chance, you are submitting CV. Nobody's responding. Then you had a chance to meet someone on the road. And the person just said, okay, just send your CV. And she was like, send it. And she sent and gave number. And the person called. And she got an international job. She said, I don't understand. On the road. No formal interview. The next thing, can you send your documents? Do you have a traveling passport? Say what? What did you say? You know, when you are squatting somewhere, and they're telling you, you are getting a fully furnished apartment. And then the next 1 month, how much time do you need to resign from your previous job? They said, I need 1 month. I said, no problem, we'll wait for you. They are waiting for you. They are even asking you, when is it convenient for you to travel? You're like, feel as if, convenient. How about tomorrow? She was in a dream. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, well, like them, that dream. I'm talking about the power of God this morning. Say amen. To move us beyond. Bible says he quickens the dead. Normally in the minds of men, if something is dead, that's the end. But that's God's very beginning. He quickens the dead, and then he will call those things which be not as though they were. And look at next verse. Look at verse 18. Just follow. Look at the principle. Who against hope believed in what? Hope. Now sometimes doctors give you no hope. They are simply doing their job. Medically, the issue cannot be handled or tackled. So there's a limitation with medicine, and that's fine. And we're not saying you should not state what the doctor says. But the challenge is that when you state what the doctor has said, then take hold of supernatural hope and go beyond that. In other words, when the doctors give you no hope, then take hold of supernatural hope. Abraham hoped against what? Hope. In other words, he took a hope that was against the one that said, your body is now dead, you are past age for conception. Where did he get the hope from? What God said to him. A father of many nations have I made thee. In other words, even when the doctor's spot was standing, God's spot was also standing. It was not Abraham that needed to take one of the two. Either what the doctor said and allow yourself to be in that position, or what God has what? Said. Glory to God. Now, as simple as that is the principle upon which a man changes his lifetime, his existence. Never let anybody persuade you that God is content or satisfied, or God doesn't want you to have just more than enough. Where you borrow from one moment to the other, you think it's okay by God. No, it's okay because that is what you have settled for. It doesn't take God time to change a man's story. If a law is set on your inside and limitations are removed on the outside, everything obeys. Everything obeys. And that's why whatever God wants to do on the outside, he does something with your inner environment. He speaks a word into your life. I said something last week. I said that when God wants to bring forth a breakthrough, he makes you hear things differently. So you can see what differently. It's called the hearing of faith. But when that is going on the outside, there will be challenges. A man has learned to walk with God will understand that other people who experience breakthrough also face same challenges. So someone who walks with God in that dimension knows not to run away from challenges, but to run towards it. Hallelujah. Say challenges and difficulties, they're like breakfast for me. Hallelujah. That the breakfast of champions. Ask your neighbor, are you an overcomer? Are you more than a conqueror? Get a response. Whatever is born of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. What is faith without opposition? You know, we see this side, we don't want to like this other side. What is faith besides what? Opposition. Oppositions will come. Listen, every time you are stretching your career, challenges came your way. Can I have a witness? Yeah. Challenges came your way. They give you an assignment. Like, no, I can't do this work. But you took it home. Yeah, you began to crack your brain. And some of you that are sharp, you also prayed. I had a friend when we were in school. He said, final year exam. Any mistake is extra year. And, well, I was in that exam hall also. And it has something to do with physics. And when we opened the paper, it was like Greek and Hebrew. This is final year. You know you are in trouble. Naturally speaking. So what will happen is that panic will first fall onto what? Setting. So the first one that comes is, this man has finished us. Because then, you know, one peculiar thing that happened in the exam was that people were now looking at the other people like, as so, did you get the same paper? Did I get a wrong paper or something? So I closed the paper. I prayed in tongues. And I need wisdom. So if I keep saying that like that, I'm going to fail. Surely I'll fail. So I closed the paper. I prayed in tongues. Father, help me. And I opened again. Now, the same paper that I opened before, out of six, I saw two questions I first answer. When I finished answering two, I saw another two that I didn't see before. That means something clouded my fear. You know, you start seeing images of what has not happened. I told you fear is a substance of what you don't desire and the evidence of things you are not looking forward to. In other words, you can't just see, like, so this is how I will fail. This man has gone. I mean, when we got out of the exam, people were saying, like, this man has finished us. I didn't say it too. That's why people that say that, what do you want we, the masses, to do? When do you become part of the masses? I thought you were a child of God. I don't have any issue with masses, so I hope you understand. But don't commonize, don't categorize yourself in certain things. Don't do that. Because you are countering the authority of God's word. Your economy is different. Your standing is different. Your source is different. God's provision for you is what? Different. It's different. They kept lamenting after. Even if you miss the exam hall, a sound Christian will go out and say, God is the help of my countenance. He's there for my life. Surely Lord God will help me. I will not be afraid. I said, you will keep saying what you are expecting, not what you are not expecting. Hallelujah. What power is there in saying things as they are, when the way they are, you don't like it? It's when people say, I'm only speaking truth. You are not speaking truth. You're stating facts, yes, but you're not speaking the reality of who you are, what God has made available for you. Abraham hoped against hope that he might become the father of many nations according to what God said. So where was the hope from what God said? What did natural hope tell Abraham? You can never father children. What did God say? I have already made you. In the past. In other words, I see you as a father of many nations and I'm calling you. I know it is impossible for God to lie. So I have made it means that in my agenda, my program, you already have the same principle he did for the children of Israel. He said, I have given you Og, the king of Bashan, Deuteronomy 2:24. I have given you Sion also. Arise, begin to contend. The way God speaks is different. He said, I have given. The other part of the sentence doesn't seem to make sense. Arise, begin to what? Contend. In other words, possess what I have given. So on my side, there's a release. The question is, will you stand up and enter and take possession? Psalm 78. Glory to God. When God told Joshua, this book of the law, that's what we're dealing with now. Tell your neighbor, this book of the law, the word of God, upon my lips, is my avenue for entering into God's limitlessness. Psalm 78, I read from verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable and utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have what? Told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. Notice the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. That's past tense, isn't it? Notice he established, past tense, a testimony where? In Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. Notice, they should make them known to their children. That's how supernatural hope comes. God has done certain things. He's credited their account with mighty works. They should make it known to their children. In other words, the greatest legacy you can give to a younger generation is to show them the workings and the dealings of God in your life. You teach them. God came true at this point. God came true at this point. You know, I remember years ago, and that experience strengthened me. It was the year 1992. My father was out of the house at that period in time. I was just about to step into university at that point in time. And apparently there was a loan or so over the house. There was mismanaged. There was some fraudulent activities, I think, on the part of the bank. And some banks were now being foreclosed at that point in time. This was before the era of New Generation Banks. And the house, the family house that we're living in, was put in this super for sale. And they gave us a number of days to pack out. And there was a way to go. My mother and I and my siblings will sit on the floor. Not that there's no chair. You know, there are some things. Tell yourself that. Let me be in contact with the floor. This matter is not matter. There are some things that, some gestures, is an act of faith because you mean things. You know, Dr. Timbaka spoke about the fact that his mother was one of the reasons why he became who he was, because he said the man grew up in a polygamous home. So wives were attacking each other's children, but he couldn't walk when he was born. A negative thing. But that was what God used to shield him from attack from the others. So while they were killing each other's children, when they look at him, this one's already finished. Let us leave it. I hope you understand. God's detour. That's what God did. Now it was the time he discovered that. He said, because by the time he was 7, for no natural reason, just took them as I walking. All the others were, most of them were already dead. God used it to what? I hope you understand what's going on. So what God is doing good, some of us say is evil. Because you're not aware what God is doing. So he said, he learned, now his mother did not know theology, you know, all this, you know, you have to break down scripture, what's raw, the way God said it. People that tell God, Shebi, you know, you will not make me to be ashamed. Will you sit here and be watching me to be failing? People that talk to God like that. The mother of the person that started Businessmen's Fellowship, that's how she used to pray. In fact, they started with her, you know, our Father who art in heaven, she doesn't know. Hey, God. That's how she talks. She will sit in the kitchen on a stool and put her on her head. God, this is your chair. Sit down. We have talk. It's about Tunde. They had a living relationship with God. That's what I'm saying. We sat on the floor of the house. Father, you can help us. Help us. The decision was overturned. I was a young man. What do you think that did to my consciousness? Whenever there's trouble, God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. Somebody that comes through. It doesn't matter even the deadline. They say it's 24 hours. You smile. I know somebody who is the architect of time, who changes timelines. I know someone who, according to scriptures, somebody who had a death sentence 24 hours became a prime minister in the same 24 hours. Someone who was appointed for death was appointed for promotion because the finger of God came and turned death to a promotion. Go and ask Esther and Mordecai. The same day he was meant to be killed. Who elevated him? God did. The finger of God. Hallelujah. Has it happened before? It has happened before. So I have hope. Hallelujah. I have hope. I said I have hope. I can trust him. I can look to him. It will come true for me. That the generation to come might know those acts of God. Even the children who should be born, they should arise. They will now declare it to their own children, having experienced the same works of God. That they might set their expectation in God. And not forget God's mighty acts. But keep his what? Commandments. Now when you hear commandments there, it's me thinking about obey the instructions. Follow through. Today we'll say it this way. For instance, one of those instructions, it says, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. It's an instruction. Count it all. Tell your neighbor, count it all joy. When the news is not looking good, count it all joy. Now, who said so? Jesus said so. Through his apostles. He said, count it all joy. Are you obeying those commandments? He said, when you set your hope in God, they should not forget the acts, the things God has done. But they will now what? Keep his commandments. One of those commandments is, count it all joy. When? Not if. He said when. He didn't say if. When you fall into diverse challenges and situations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it produces consistency. Hallelujah. In other words, you are here against Satan. It's like you never get tired. I won you last time. I will win you again. I'm born of God. I was made for times like this. No weapon fashioned against my kind can prosper. Your deception can prosper. I've seen God face to face. His word is working in my heart. I'm going to prevail again and again. Hallelujah. I know how the game is. I shared a testimony with us also. Final year, and suddenly the lecturers, they were collating all the results and collating with us. Can you say you cannot find a training level result? Sometimes I think God will help us with the educational system in the country when it comes to dominions. You can't find my resource. So whose fault is it that you can't find it? It now becomes the student's fault. So the man said that, that means you have to write it again. Say, eh? 200. Meanwhile, in my 400 level, I do about 16 courses. All of them are compulsory. 500 level, I do 18 courses. And man said, you should have gone. You should have gone. Chemistry 257. Mm-hmm. People are already smiling. Some people are smiling. They know what I'm talking about. So you have to go and write it again. So I went to go and write the exam again, by force, by fire. And then the next thing was that when it was time for results to be collated, the man refused to mark. He didn't receive result, and they were collated. And I was seeing people collect their... So while we were doing... While we were doing that process, and I was praying, all I was doing was, I used God's word, listen carefully, to see myself in NYSC uniform. I was using God's word to imagine myself in... I hope you know imagination is free. They don't charge you. You know, if you don't engage it, they will engage it for you. So why don't you use something that freely belongs to you? That's the womb of conception. I began to imagine myself. So I saw myself, you know, even though I don't like marching in NYC uniform. Because the other picture that I was seeing was not good. That one was saying, you know, Satan is a bastard. Like, so which hall are you going to now stay for your extra? Which hall will you stay for your extra? Are you going to stay up or lower? He's also coming with him. And if you're not made to stick, you are gone. It's not because God lacks ability, it's because you can't see what God wants to do. But I had an expectation. I created the image on the inside to remove that limitation that says that, I mean, you don't know the enemy was at work. By the time God came through and the man marked, I'm seeing you. You don't know me personally. You just heard that I was in my final year. And when I prayed before I went to that man, because some of them are demonized. I mean, and look at me. You've not checked results. What's your name? What's your number? I'm saying, you failed? I know you failed. Oga, what's the problem? And then we went to go and check. 77. How did you manage? I didn't even wait, thank God. I mean, can you imagine? You don't know, you failed. But I did something. I went through a process. You know, I was first within. And then without. Same process. Your level of life. We were given a quit notice last year. A few people in church know. What people didn't know was that in a house I was given a quit notice, I've been living there for 20 years. I'm content too with small things. I don't want 20 years. I just hit my head there. And then just give a quit notice. And I was at a meeting when the quit notice came. You know, you just, everything about you just scatters. Letter came in my absence. They related what was in the letter to me. And I was holding a meeting but I agree. A 2-day meeting. You feel like, can we stop this meeting and go back home? But Luke said, just continue with the meeting. And a peace came. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in everything. By prayer, what? Supplication. With thanksgiving. And the peace of God, that doesn't make sense, will keep your heart, which is your mind, in Christ Jesus. Now what God was saying, I'm working things out. Continue with the meeting. No man. We got a good place, a better place. But one of the things God did, I don't think I even told my wife about this, was that. Really, when we were looking for it, one morning I just woke up, I was trying to pray. As I was praying, one of the rooms of the house we stay in there, I saw myself in it on a mattress. Hallelujah. And we're in that house now. Exactly the same house now. I've seen it happen in different situations at different times. Like God has shown me things, I was just, okay. I won't say anything. I just keep quiet, keep it to myself. There's some things you don't announce too quickly. Just keep it to yourself and keep working. It's part of the faith work. In other words, God is saying certain things that He wants people to set their expectation in Him. But before they can set it, they have to hear. So tell each generation so that one generation shall praise God to the next generation. Whatever God did in generation, this generation must go and tell these individuals. That's why what we learn from fathers of faith is how was your walk with God? What are the things God has done for you? Those are the things I encourage you. Pastor Deboy said one day that, he was trying to explain the scripture that before they speak, I will answer. While they're yet praying, I will what? I will hear. He said it was coming from a long trip. He said, that's like I miss eating guinea fowl. And guinea fowl eat the car. Okay. The God you are serving is not as gentle as you think. When it comes to provision, he said, guinea fowl eats the car. about two of them and they packed it in. Then when he got home to where he was, about the other four was waiting for him. How did the guinea fowl appear before you even, I hope you understand. While you are yet speaking, somebody say, see, crazy things. He said there was a day when he was, the first house they built, somebody agreed to supply all day. He didn't go to the man. The man was over volunteered. They can, that's how they can hook you. You come and offer you money. Say, see, the man said, no, no, it should be you at the pastor. Don't worry. This was when redeem was not redeemed yet, in that sense. Not known yet. The man gave building material. I said, don't worry, pay at your convenience. Then after the house was built, the man just came with pressure. He must pay me. He must pay me. He must pay me. And began to say, Father, I didn't ask for this thing. This man offered this thing. Don't let me be embarrassed. Help me. And he prayed. I went to bed. He woke up the next morning. Somebody was knocking on the door. He opened the door. You know, he first wanted to run back. Somebody is at your doorstep, seated on the floor, eating food. Hello, what's my... So my name is Susanso. I came from the north. I just arrived early this morning, but I started journeying from yesterday. He said, because God spoke to me since yesterday before you prayed that this amount of money, I should bring it to you. And it was so urgent, I couldn't wait to eat breakfast before I left. That's why I'm eating now. So he thought it was his prayer, but the movement came before the prayer and coincided with the deadline that he had. He must pay that day, and the person with the money sat on his doorstep. I'm trying to rewire your thinking so you can expand your mind. Whatever you need financially is abundantly released in the name of Jesus. Whatever favor or men need to move in position to approve what will favor your decision, it is released in the name of the Lord Jesus. They didn't get the land by their own sword though. Neither did their own arm save them. But by your favor, the strength of your countenance, because you had favor upon them. Psalm 44 verse 3. These are the testimonies God expected them to tell one generation to the other in their walk with God. Psalm 78 again. Are you with me this morning? Are you getting something? Look, let's continue. See what this is. I can't finish this thing today. It's planning to finish this video. I have to continue next week now. So let me jump all the way to verse 7. Look at verse 8. That the generation, I might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that said not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God, the children of Ephraim, that's an example. They were harmed and carrying bows, they turned back in the day of battle. Notice what they did. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk where? In his law. How? They forgot his works and his wonders that he has shown them. So, why did fear prevail? They forgot the works. They refused to walk in his covenant. What was the covenant? God has spoken to them. Whenever you get to battle, you see an army mightier than you, don't be afraid. The Lord your God, he it is that goes ahead of you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has said that. So, what do any men to do? They get to the place of war. They will receive instructions and directions. Most of the time, they will go there praising God. But they didn't wait to praise. They ran. They didn't keep God's covenant. So the limitation that was there overpowered them. Not because God's ability wasn't mighty. They did not focus. They despised the things God has done in the past. They didn't call to remembrance what God has done in the past. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 17, because of our time, 1 Samuel 17, somebody says, where is 1 Samuel? It's just after Hosea. If you can't find it, ask your neighbor. I'm going to read quickly from the first few verses and I'm going to jump. Are you with me this morning? Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were together at Shokoh, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokoh and Zekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against Philistines. So, and the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose eyes was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's, I think, roughly around 18 kilograms. Somebody's weighing 18 kilograms. As armor. How much do you weigh? And he had grips of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went, now he even need somebody to carry his shield. That's somebody's job. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said to them, why are you come out to set your battery now in array? Am I not a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If you're able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of Philistine, they were dismayed and what? Greatly afraid. Now, this is a part that if you're not reading carefully, you won't get. This is what happened, but that is not what happened in a day. It went on for 40 days. It will come morning and evening. Today we call it propaganda. You win the battle with words. They didn't even need to listen to him. There was a customary way of fighting. That customary way was that one army to the other. He set the conditions, they listened. He changed their identity, they listened. So they were listening to lies. He put fear in them by his appearance. He kept tormenting. He did it night and day. Listen, the same principle can be used positively. If you listen to God's promises and God's word for 40 days, morning and evening, something will happen to you. Your brain will be rewired. You will not see impossibility at all. Try it. It's been proven scientifically that it takes the average of 30 to 38 days to rewire a man's brain and one's way of thinking. Scientists have done it. When they were sending men to the moon, and they wanted them to understand that because on the moon there's no gravitational pull. I'm sure you know that. Now, what they did was that they put them in a special chamber. Listen carefully, because if you go to the moon, if you move a little bit, because there's no gravitational pull, it's very low, you can flip upside down very easily. They put them in a special chamber. You know what they did? They were eating and feeding upside down for about 28 days. Have you tried eating upside down before? Somebody said, all the blood will rush from your brain. But you know what happened? After 20 days, when they put them back in normal environment, they couldn't see things normal way again. They saw things like this. Because the brain had been rewired. Scientifically proven. So these people listen to propaganda and fear for 40 days. What did it happen? Your defense is gone. Fear will sit upon the throne of your heart. They kept, what? I will destroy you. I will finish you. And this is what will happen. If I finish you, you become our servants. You are servants of all. I defy you today. You are servants of Israel or armies of Israel. But something happened. David was coming from the field. Fresh from the field. Hadn't heard those 40 days of propaganda. It was coming from the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the enemies come and they try to attack me, they stumble and they fail. Hallelujah. David was coming from a place of meditation. He wasn't just feeding sheep in the wilderness. He was busy fellowshipping with God in that place. So when his father sent him to the field, he happened to come at the time when that man came out. And the first thing David did was that, everybody's running away. David is not a seasoned soldier. Every man is running away. But something happened. How come those words did not penetrate David's heart? Because there were already words in David's heart already. That David stood on. By my God, I run through troops. By God, I leap over walls. That's where David was coming from. A thousand shall fall by my side. 10,000 by my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes will I see and what? Behold the reward of David was coming already harmed in his heart. So David saw things differently. The first thing he said was that, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? Not armies of Israel. They forgot their identity. God had already told them, so every time you see somebody mightier than you, just stand your ground. Remember, the Lord your God, he it is that goes ahead of you. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 20. It's a law established in Jacob. It's a testimony in Israel. But they forgot everything. They forgot the works of God. Just like children of Ephraim who ran back, that's what they were doing. They were running. Even Saul ran. It didn't make sense that you see Goliath, 9 feet. You see David, barely 5 feet 5. And some guy was short. All people that are doing TDH. If you see David, you forget the T part. If you don't know what it means, bless your soul. If that's ignorant, let him be ignorant still. So what is TDH? Ask your neighbor. It was neither dark, but it was handsome. Hallelujah. It was fair to look upon. Handsome guy. Not too tall. Yeah, when David stood before Goliath, Goliath said, ah. Thor was head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. So he was like, hey, if anybody's going to come, it's you. All this, yeah, you. Then David said, today I want to show you, God does not save with sword and spear. That's not what God uses. You come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied. And today, I will bring your head down. He spoke of the victory before it happened. Now, there's a part I want you to see before I run up. When you want to face something others have not handled before, logic will kick in. Logic will tell you, this can't be done. So Saul told David, you have never been to battle. This guy grew up, trained as a soldier. You are but a boy. He is a man of war. How will you do it? It doesn't make any logical sense. Then David spoke to Saul and said, when your servant kept his father's sheep, a lion came. He took one of the lambs, and your servant took the lamb from him. When he turned against me, then I smote him. I hope you understand the graphic description. Does that make any sense? I'll give you your Bible. You know, if a lion comes to take a lamb, if it's just one lamb, let him be going. You said you took the lamb from the lion. You were going your way. The lion now faced you, said, ah. You now went back. Go back where? If you and I would be glad that, did you escape? How much happened to you? Thank God. David's defense of the lamb was more important than his own life, which was the quality God saw and said, I found me a man after my heart. He will defend my people with his own very blood. David smote the lion. I took it. I caught him by his beard. I smote him and slew him. Look at next verse. Verse 36. Now someone slew both the lion and what? The bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of living God. When Saul heard, this young man has done lion, he has done bear, so I let him go. What did David do? He looked back to what God has done before. I want to ask you this morning, can you see something God did in the past for you? Has God come true for you before? Do you have hope? Do you know he will come true for you yet again? I mean, I've been stuck at different times. And I've gone back. You did A, you did B, you did C, you came to like this. You opened the door when I didn't think there was a door there. You will do this one again also. I'm confident, I'm sure. Against hope, he believed in hope. That these things that he believed might come to pass. They allowed David to go. Because logic needs an answer, a testimony of faith to give him. There's a higher law. Hallelujah. There's a higher law. A higher law. The law of faith is a higher law. I know gravity works, but I know there's a law of lift that suppresses gravity. So I know there are limitations. They are true, but there are greater realities than those limitations. The God that raises the dead lifts men above all natural conditions to establish them in the fullness of his will. He has been doing it for a long time. He's still doing it. Look at Lamentations. Now someone said, are we about to cry? No. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Who wrote Lamentations? The crying prophet. Okay. It is of the Lord's message that we are not what? Consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy. Now every morning is for you. The morning is for you. The morning simply means every single day you need help. Just know God's mercy is waiting on you. Every single day. So there's no new day that comes that the mercy of God is not waiting on standby for you. And look at next thing it says. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly what? Wait for the saving grace of the Lord. Say it is good. Say it is good. Say it is good. And that's when you find the scripture. It is good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth. If you quote it within context, to bear your yoke in your youth means be ready to have adventures with God as you face challenges. That's you. Be ready to have adventures with God as what? Face challenges. Challenges are childbirth. Challenges in getting a job. Challenges in getting married. Challenges when it comes to health. Be ready to face challenges because within the challenges you will have mighty testimonies, which will be records of God's faithfulness, footprints of God's presence in your life. So don't run from challenges. Embrace them. Welcome them as friends, as opportunities to experience God's faithfulness to a greater degree than you've ever experienced before. But you know what we do? We murmur, we complain, we grumble, we even curse the blessing with the words that we speak because a challenge has arisen. What is the instruction or the commandment of God? Be careful for nothing. How do we know you are being anxious? It's usually by the words that you speak. It's by the words that you speak. It's good for a man to bear the challenges of life. Young. Because you are going to have a track record with God that way. At the age of 17, David had handled bear and lion. 30 as a king, there was no nation that David faced, that David did not have mastery. David was used to supernatural help, supernatural assistance at all times. 2 Samuel chapter 5, he faced a particular army that was mighty. And when he went to go and ask God, what did God say to him? God told him, when you hear the sound of marching in the trees, then go ahead, the Lord has gone ahead of you. So David was used to supernatural conquests and victories because of the experiences he had. Let me say it again, brothers and sisters, every time you run away from challenges, you are running away from a testimony in God. There's a dimension of God you have not experienced that you will not see because you avoided the opportunity God gave you to grow. I didn't say God brought the challenge. I said God knew it was coming. The same way God knew the way to deliver the children of Israel to go by the way of the Philistines is shorter. But he took them to the Red Sea to show them what he's able to do in different situations. So don't turn your back on challenges. Don't run. Welcome them as opportunities to grow and to advance. Is there a limitation now? Have you set a goal for this year already? When you're setting a goal, use the prophetic word you have received. One of the things God said was that there's 5 times more this year. Now, your job is not to try to imagine how you get the 5 times more. Your job is to see yourself with 5 times more. Then God will bring it to what? To pass. Hallelujah. And if I have the opportunity of next week, I'll show us one or two things. If you are thinking of a business or starting a venture, the first thing to get is not capital. The first thing to get to see is a thriving business on the inside. The thriving is on in your heart will command capital in your direction. You don't even have to use your money. People have started businesses with no capital. Physically speaking, that's of their own. Because when the dream is alive on the inside, it will draw resources in its direction. Hallelujah. I told somebody, I said, people that are wealthy, maybe your cousin and your uncle, people are still shocked. My uncle is so rich, he's so stingy. Why doesn't he give me money? If I tell you the mystery behind that thing, you'll be shocked. Now, someone is close to you and they have money doesn't mean they will give you. I hope you know. It doesn't work like that. Ah, can't you see I'm suffering? Ah. Now, many people in the world are suffering. I'm the only one. Something has to be compelling enough to cause resources from somebody who is wealthy to come in your direction. That you I need is not sufficient. No. Can't you see those same people giving to people who are not even in need? I mean, think about it. Someone was making a comment one day. I said, an older politician was having a bad day for his newborn son. 1 year old bad day. And people are flying in. You think it's because they love the boy? They are flying in. A boy is one that are giving him a car gift. This world. We did drive car at 1 year old. That somebody has the resources doesn't mean it will be given to you. No. There's something that makes it come in your direction. And that's where the power of God comes to work. Because people have things that move them to release funds. So it doesn't just work overnight like that. That's why, instead of focusing on the funds, focus on conceiving what God has in mind. And then something will pull all the resources. Because the resources you need are where? They're on their heart. They'll come in your direction. Hallelujah. Become it first on the inside by the power of God. And something will happen supernaturally. Everything you need will want gravitate towards you. But the major work, the job, the assignment you have now is, can you take time to sit down and conceive? It will amaze you that one of the most difficult things for people to do today in our day is to sit still and meditate. Have you noticed that? Yeah. There are too many things. Facebook will pop up. TikTok will come. Text message will, phone call will come. Okay. Take 10 minutes and meditate. That is when they will be calling you. Sitting still, it seems to be a tough one to do. God said, be still and know. And what? I am God. So if you want to succeed and build things along this line, you must teach yourself to be still and take time. 10, 15 minutes a day will change your life. You see the processes, you meditate, you allow God's word to paint a picture on the inside of you. Once the image is completed, the answer will come on the outside. But do the work. It's labor. It's labor because to keep your mind still is labor. To see the help of God on the inside, it's labor. You keep your mind there. You will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is what? Stay, because he trusted in thee. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Let's lift up our hands and give God thanks this morning. I want you to expand the course of your mind this morning and reach out with all of your masumbra da katine gear, a gugusta frada lakite, lido no yo mambra tele kito muntu sita maya, their heights to attain, their positions to occupy, their thresholds to reach, if you will open your heart to the limitless wisdom of the Father this season. For there are positions waiting for you to occupy and promotions assigned to the saints. Do not say, therefore, I'm small based on my qualification, but look to the blood and look to the Son. And let him be your qualification. Let him be the favor that will move you into all he has prepared for you. Let go of the condemnation, for it's condemnation to say I'm not good enough. Let go of the fear, for it is fear to say, how will it come to pass? Hold on to my word, and let my word therefore become your confidence and your point of reference. And as it becomes your point of reference, all that you desire, yea, beyond what you desire, I will bring you into the fullness thereof. And what seems like a stagnation will become a story of the past. For as you take one step, and all you attain is one step beyond where you were before, as you persist, from one step, it will be three steps. From three steps, it will be five steps. From five steps, suddenly you take 10 steps beyond where you were before. And you look back, and your song will be songs of his faithfulness, of his grace, and of his mercy. And his goodness will be seen. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. Hallelujah. I want to pray for the teenagers this morning. I was instructed by the Spirit last week. I want them to come forward. And I want us to be praying the Holy Ghost as I lay hands upon them. I'm not able to give them word for word, word by word, because of our time. I pray that another opportunity will come when I'll be able to minister to them. When I say one-on-one, I mean I'll speak specific words over them. I'm still going to do that to a degree, but there are quite a number of them. It will take a whole service to do that. But God has something in mind for these precious ones. He has something in mind for these precious ones. And some of us here are parents. As we're praying, I will search for an answer towards them. The will of God be done. The counsel of God come to pass. The will of God be done. The counsel of God will come to pass. I want to search for an answer towards them and begin to pray. I want the pastors to join me. The glory of God. The glory of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Now, when we are doing things like this, because you joined us to pray, it moved faster. And I want us to realize the place and the role that we play as a church, because God said, pray for them. But I was wondering, how do I pray for them and minister prophetically to each of them without taking time? Was it last year we had Super Sunday? Was it the month of April? Was it March? It was April. Was it 2 Sundays? How many of us had Super Sunday last year? Do we have another one this year? Okay, we are not decided. Should I let you go and pray and decide? Suicide is not permanent. But resurrection is permanent. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you see? I mean, the man is just like... Now, I'm seeing Naboko Sefretika Setele Prekitanae. Les Subrado Kuteniana. Shite Brado Kuteniana. Anata. Frastele Fritekika Sise 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 Sise. Put on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to the church. Put on the fruit of the Spirit for 2 reasons. That your home may not be destroyed. Put on the fruit of the Spirit. Be patient. Be temperate. Be gentle. Be kind. The enemy, like a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour. But put on the fruit of the Spirit. As you put it on, the wrath of the enemy will not reach you. It will not get to you. Well, put on the fruit of the Spirit. It's your armor against the attacks of the enemy concerning your home, your marriage, and concerning the work of your hands also. For the thief coming up, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when the noise comes, remember you were warned to put on the fruit of the Spirit. React in the Spirit, not react in the flesh. And the enemy will have no answer and no room to prevail in your life. Put on the fruit of the Spirit. When the opportunity for strife comes in your home, remember the warning and the answer of Jehovah. For this is the way of escape, the fruit of the Spirit. And as you do, you will see that the enemy rendered useless. He is but a toothless bulldog before those who walk with God. Let's give him thanks again. Let's give him thanks again. Glory to God. Glory to God. We stand against crisis in every home. We declare that we're shielded from evil. Every home and marriage is protected in the name of the Lord Jesus. The work of our hands are blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's time for another promotion. Not the one you sought now, but the one that is seeking you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. You will eventually end up outside the country. Yeah. Yeah. It's part of God's plans for you. The pastor doesn't like to say things like that. I say, Brother Martins, where are you going? But you eventually end up because it's part of God's plans for you. You will. You will. You will work things out in His time. Father, we give you praise. We thank you. Thank you for leading us and guiding us. And showing us what to do. Showing us what to do. So. Help me tell him that it's international, the appointment, and it will not be on this continent. Thank you, Father. We give praise to you. We give thanks to you for all that you have done for us and all you are doing for us. We're in a season. Resounding conquest is our portion this month and this season. We follow you. We follow you. We walk with you. And we walk in the reality of what things you have planned and prepared for us. To you be all the glory and all the praise. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' precious name.